This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish Messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the Messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donnie Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet and welcome all you listeners. Wherever you are, if you're in your car listening or at home on a computer, wherever you are, we just welcome you to our program. And we're honored to be here with you on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 23 plus years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you and to be part of WCNO Radio. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, we do offer tapes and CDs, whichever one you'd want. And all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to the ministry. It's Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995, and let us know the date and whether you want a tape or CD, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here, as we tell you. And so we've been on this program now 19 plus years, right, Pastor Donna? And the years go by so fast, it's hard to believe it's been that long. But we're honored to be a part of this network of WCNO, and you know, music's going out and teaching and all that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So it's wonderful to be able to tune into some things you can hear that will uplift your spirit and all, instead of all the stuff that we hear out in the world today. So I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're going to talk about some interesting things here today, and before we do that, I'm going to turn this over to my precious wife. She's sitting across from the table from me. And we got a couple announcements to make, and so we'll give it to her right now. Pastor Don, it's all yours.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, we want to say hello, and another Sabbath day, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
And we can spend that time seeking God's presence and resting in Him. You mm-hmm. know, that's the only way we're going to really get strengthened, is when we spend time with the Lord and rest in Him.
Amen. That's right.
Well, we do have services here in sunny Stuart, Florida.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Friday night, we come together to worship God and to honor the Sabbath.
Amen.
And so we also spend time teaching, having communion every Friday night. Mm-hmm. And we spend time seeking God's presence with some wonderful Holy Ghost music. Amen. So, and something you can really hear the Lord from, you know what I mean? Not all this loud music.
Nice quiet music.
Right. Amen. And then Saturday, like today, we'll come together this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and we have a wonderful video to show. Mm-hmm. And all the videos we show, they all have to do with the Lord.
Right.
And so he'll tell you about it in just a minute, what video we're going to show. And that's at 4 o'clock. And then after that, we have a little meal. Mm-hmm. And we close out the Sabbath with the Havadah's little prayers and service there. So, you know, making the separation between the Sabbath and the regular week, mm-hmm. the normal week. Because, you know, God said to honor, he told Moses, he says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. God, you know, God started the Sabbath right in the book of Genesis. It says God rested.
Amen.
Well, you know, God probably didn't need to rest. He doesn't get get tired or weary, but he chose to rest. He rested. And so that's, he sets a pattern. And, you know, Jesus set a pattern for our lives. God sets a pattern for the week, for the Sabbath, and Amen. for the feast, because seven is a very key, important number in God's heart and mind.
The plan of God, yeah.
He set his whole plan up with one of the numbers, one of the main numbers is seven.
Seven sure is.
So we need to pay attention. And, you know, a lot of times we have gotten away, the church in general, the Christian church has gotten away from that, and they say that Sunday is the Sabbath.
No.
But that's not true.
Right.
Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week.
That's right.
Number one. And Saturday is seven. So mm-hmm. we need to remember that, you know, because he told Moses, and, you know, in the law, he didn't make it a law. He said, remember mm-hmm. the Sabbath. In other words, he had set it up way before he had set up the Ten Commandments when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments there up on the mount. So that is for Saturday. And then we come together on the first day of the week to worship God.
Amen.
Because the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And so that's at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we come together then. We come in, we pray. We, you know, it's not just a normal service. We're a little bit...
It's a meeting, isn't it?
We're a little different. Praise God. Hallelujah. We pray some more. And, you know, we have a service and worship, and then we have a meal afterwards.
Hallelujah.
And everyone pitches in, and we clean up, because we lease the Board of Realtors Auditorium we have for the last 23 plus years,
yes.
So we're blessed to be there, right there in the Monterey Plaza mm-hmm. in Stuart, Florida, at Monterey and Cantor Highway. We're in the Board of Realtors Auditorium. It's our Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so we have a little meal after that, too. So, you know, we're just a fellowship, love God, and people that are really seeking God's presence and seeking truth.
That's
the main
right.
thing is truth. And we need to worship God in spirit and what? And
truth. Hallelujah.
And
yes.
So the truth is learning God's word. And on Fridays, we read the Torah portions.
Amen.
And you say, well, that's kind of strange. Are you Jewish? And we say, well, you know, we're spiritual.
We're grafted
Jews
in, aren't we?
Because we're grafted in.
That's right.
And the Torah portions, they are the first five books of the Bible. And so right now we're in Deuteronomy. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the year. And you say, well, gee, the end of the year is not till January. No, the end of the spiritual year is a few weeks away.
Starts over on Rosh Hashanah, doesn't it?
Which is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Rosh Hashanah and trumpets. And God set up this feast, too. You know, Yeshua, he fulfilled the first four feasts in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to fulfill the last three. Isn't it interesting? There's seven feasts as well.
There are seven again.
And then if we count the Sabbath, we have eight.
Eight, that's right.
But there's seven holy convocations or feasts of the Lord. And the one that we're going to talk about today is Rosh Hashanah, which is very key.
That's better known as trumpets.
Blowing the trumpets.
Blowing the trumpets.
And yes, we do have shofars in our church. And yes, people do blow shofars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that you say, well, you have an interesting church. I wonder what that's all about. Well, you know, the spirit of prophecy is supposed to be free to move as the Lord leads. So, and God wants to use the body, use the church. Who's the church? The church is the people. It's not the building that we meet in.
That's right.
It's the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we are the church. So if you'd like to come visit us, I'm going to give you our telephone number, and you can give us a call, and we'd be glad to give you directions. It's fairly easy to find us here in Stuart, Florida, right on Cantor Highway, right off of 95 down in town.
Mm-hmm.
So praise the Lord for that. We're thankful for the Sabbath, and we want to say hello to all of you who listen to us regularly, and maybe there's somebody who just tuned in for the first time. Well, we want to bless you and say Shabbat Shalom to you. That means Sabbath peace. And so we also want to learn some of the Hebrew. So, you know, I encourage people to learn the letters and to learn the meanings and to learn, you know, every Hebrew letter is dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one dimension. Most languages are just one dimension. So, but the Hebrew is the only one that has three dimensions. And so, you know, to me, when I think of dimensions, I think of levels or depths or widths, mm-hmm. however you want to look at it.
Yep.
You can have dimensions going wide, going high, going deep. God wants us to know the deeper things and
God,
the mysteries.
Right.
Jesus said, he says, if we don't understand the parables, how are we going to understand some of the deeper things of God?
Right.
So that's why it's important to know to read the Torah, really, every year. We read the Torah every year because you say, well, I read it once. You don't get something when you just read it one time.
Sure don't.
You don't get it when you read it just 10 times. No, mm-hmm. you are always, God is always showing us something new.
Sure.
And and I can think of a lot of things he has shown us this year new that he didn't show us last year because mm-hmm. God wants to reveal these deeper things to us, amen, because we're in the last days, and he says he's going to open up our spiritual eyes, I believe, and not only us, but the Jewish people as well, to know these truths. And what we're going to talk about today is the truth that you need to know. We're probably going to be talking about for the next 2 or 3 weeks, because it's something you have to get down deep in your heart to be able to see these things with spiritual eyes. So, you know, when Pastor Gene started teaching these things about the end times and prophecy, I said, I don't understand, Lord. And the Lord told me, and he says, ask me for spiritual eyes to understand, the prophetic in the, according to the feasts, according to the Hebrew, according to God's calendar. Because God's calendar is totally different than our calendar. And like I said, a new calendar is starting in just a few weeks, not January.
Right
in October,
the new year,
we call October,
mm-hmm.
right in Tishrei. So we need to be ready. Are we going to be 3 months late on the prophetic? No,
hope not.
If we wait till January, we're going to be three months late.
That's right.
God says this is a now time, and we need to
That's
know
right.
these things now. Amen.
You got it.
Praise the Lord. So I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, and the Temple of God is
being Bless
built
you both.
Over there. And, you know, certainly would be wonderful if some people would just say, you know, I want to help put the roof on. The next thing is the roof. The roof's not cheap, you know. Want to help put the roof on, either with supplies or with finances. You know, the Lord, let the Lord lead. So there's a roof that needs to go on, and the roof is not going to be cheap. It's got to be sturdy. It's got to be strong. It's got to be able to withstand any hurricanes. I mean, the building is strong right now. It's not made with just wood, sticks and stones.
That's
no,
right. Roscoe knows what he's doing.
It's made with big blocks.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And steel blocks and steel and on a firm
foundation.
Yeah. And of course, we know the foundation is Jesus Christ. But
Hallelujah.
You know, you still got to build your house that you're going to worship in on a firm foundation,
sure
spiritually
did.
And naturally. So mm-hmm. now we need a strong roof that will withstand any kind of a storm. Praise God. So because the storms come, don't they? We have to be prepared. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And I want to mention also that we're on the internet. So if you're just catching this, or you just heard just a little bit of it, or you want to hear the whole thing, or you want to hear something we taught on last week, or maybe a year ago, you can go to WCNO.com, and you can go to their program guide and look for Saturday, Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and you can listen to the other broadcasts.
Sounds good.
WCNO. We bless them. Amen. Pray for Pastor Tom. He's recovering.
Hallelujah. Spend a
Amen.
Few hours each day back at the radio station again, so it won't be long. He's going to be back right in there doing it all.
That's right.
I was thinking about what you're talking about, Roscoe and Audrey. You know, before they put that roof on, they got to put two big pillars inside for support. Made me think about the temple. Remember they had the two pillars at the entrance of the temple? One was called Jacob and the other was called Boaz.
Mm.
So that would be interesting. Roscoe, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, maybe those two pillars, maybe just name them Jacob and Boaz.
Well, God will lead them.
That's right. I was thinking about the two pillars.
Well, also think about the apostles, you know, how things are built, and you have the apostles. And I think about what Bishop Hammond, he has got a little flyer out, and he shows how the foundation comes, and then you have everything's built on the apostle. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, right? And then you've got the apostle and the prophet.
On the bottom.
And Roscoe and Audrey, they're the apostle and prophet.
That's right.
And then you
And you have three pillars on that, don't you?
Then you go, you know, you go on and you
evangelist, have pastor, and teacher. Yeah, on top
right.
of that, yeah.
It's because you need all five. You need all five of those dimensions to grow and to
mature in the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ. So we bless Roscoe Notary, and it's called the Temple of God.
Hallelujah.
So it's God's temple.
That's right.
You know? Amen.
And they're giving him all the glory and all the credit for
That's right.
So we continue to pray for you, and we thank you. And so as we talk about this, mm-hmm. if anybody would like to give a love offering to the temple of God, you know, they need finances to complete the building and all.
Amen.
Well, just you can make out a check to this ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995, and mark it the Temple of God. And maybe you can put a little money in there for this radio program too. But hey, mark it for Temple of God, and we'll make sure they get the finances, amen, to continue to do the work of the Lord over there. So we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. So we're going to begin to talk about a time called trumpets. Really, everybody calls it Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah just means the head of the year. And today happens to be the seventh day of the month of what? Elul. So we're going to go through these 40 days we talked about last week. Brings us up to the Day of Atonement. And that'll be the conclusion of a time called Teshuvah. It's a call to return or to repent and come back to God. And so we're getting close to this, these high holy days. And really, this is the most serious time on the Jewish calendar that God put in place for them. Every year they look at this, every single year, these 40 days, 30 days trying to get right with God. And then they got the 10 days of awe and all that, leading up to a time called trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. So we're honored to be here with you. We're going to start talking about these things. And this might last for about 3 weeks because there's so much in this. In fact, in my commentary, my book I wrote, if you'd like to get this book, it's $25 plus maybe $4 for shipping and handling. And I have two lessons about the Feast of Trumpets. There's so much in this, so much detail in it that we need to understand it in a deep way, because it all points to resurrection. And I've had people tell me, Pastor Donna, well, how do you know that's got anything to do with resurrection? Because the Bible talks about the trumpets. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the last trump. These trumpets, this is, if we know our Judaism, we know what God did with Israel and the things they did during these appointed times, well, then we get a clue to what's going on. Now, we don't, you know, our Bible tells us all the appointed times, but some of them don't give you a lot of details what they do. But some of their other writings, like the Mishnah, the Talmud, and all, gives you a clue what they do on those appointed times. And the only one we really have, we mentioned last week, that we have a whole chapter on, is Leviticus chapter 16, referring to the Day of Atonement. And why? Because that's the day that God has assigned to Israel. I believe with all my heart the Bible reveals this will be the day. We don't know what year for sure. This will be the day that he's going to come back and literally put his foot again on the Mount of Olives. But there's a lot of things leading up to that before we get to that point in time. And so we're going to talk about this as much as we can with you and to show you some things. And so as we start, I want to clarify a couple things. You know, I read books from time to time that people write, and we hear about the second coming. Well, what is the second coming? You know, if they don't make it clear, well, then you kind of have a confusion in all this. But I want you to know that Yeshua had a first advent. When was that? That was when he was born of Mary, okay? But also it was his first coming, because that's when he was born. He actually literally came to the earth. He was in heaven with his Father, and hallelujah, way before. He's always been there. But God decided to bring him to this earth and put him in a body like I'm sitting in, a physical body. And he walked this earth for 33 and a half years. So that was his first coming, okay? He did come to the earth. But the key thing, the main thing I like to keep in mind is the first advent. And I try to keep this clear in my book, the difference between the coming and the advent. Now, if you read Paul's letters, especially to the Thessalonians, he talks about the coming. Well, the coming is when Jesus comes in the sky, calls home the church, the ecclesia, Jew and Gentile, and the Messiah. He will not put his feet on the earth. He's going to call them in the sky. That's his coming, okay? But now the second advent is when he's going to come back at the end of Jacob's trouble, I believe, on the Day of Atonement. And he's going to literally put his feet again on the Mount of Olives. That's the second advent. So I've kind of brought this out in the book here I wrote to kind of clarify. So when you hear me talking about the second coming, I'm going to be talking about when Yeshua is going to come in the sky for his called out group. Okay, we'll talk about the advent. That's going to be when he comes and puts his feet again on the Mount of Olives. And we read over in Acts chapter 1, and that's when things will start. And he's going to establish the Messianic kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. So we want to keep that in mind as well. And so as we look at all this, we'll see some interesting things.
First of all, Pastor Gene, yes. I want to mention that when we come to this this day called the Trumpets, mm-hmm. the Day of Trumpets. That's the new month. That will be a new month.
New moon, right.
It'll be a new moon. Mm-hmm. All, every single Hebrew month starts with a new moon.
That's right.
And so the first day of that is what's also called Yom Teruah.
That's right.
Yom Teruah. Mm-hmm. Day of Trumpets, and some people say Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the day that we eat apples and honey.
That's right.
We do that in church.
Apples,
you know, we celebrate all the feasts in the church.
That's right.
We have a Passover meal at Passover time, but this, now we're in the fall. So these are called days. There's 10 days of awe in that first month, in that month of Tishrei. And, you know, there's three different things, three different feasts that happen during the month of Tishrei within a matter of, what, 20?
22 days.
22 days.
Counting a Simchat Torah.
And interesting, that's an amount of number, Hebrew letters are.
That's right.
In the alphabet. And, you know, God completes everything. He doesn't finish. He doesn't leave one day short.
That's right, sure
does. And, you know, he doesn't leave one letter short. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw a little thing in about the Hebrew letters. The first letter in the Hebrew is the Aleph. Mm-hmm. And the last letter is the Tav. Mm-hmm. Now, the Aleph is the number 1, and the Tav is the number 22, because there's 22 letters. And the symbol for the Aleph is like an ox, and it stands for God, and it means strength.
Mm-hmm. Or God is strength, isn't
it? He's the one who breathed, spoke everything into being. And the last letter is pictured by a cross. And so that, and so I think about what it says in the Bible, in the New Testament. It says, and he's the Alpha
and the Omega.
The Omega.
In the Greek,
it says in the Old Testament, he's the beginning and the end.
End. Yeah.
And in the very first verse, even in the Genesis 1:1, the Aleph and Tav is mentioned in there, showing the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Father and Son started everything, but it took the cross to bring it to the conclusion.
Right.
So without the cross, we wouldn't have
salvation. That's right.
Because
it's about the
cross. And you would think that, and if there's any Jewish people listening, just go check it out. Go check out your own alphabet that many of them don't know, you know, because they don't study the Torah, and they can't even read Hebrew. But the very last letter is a picture.
It's a picture.
Because before they had a letter, you know, form of a letter, they read letters by pictures.
Pictures, yeah.
And so it was a picture of a cross. What's the cross remind you of? Yeshua was placed on that cross, before he died?
It is finished.
It is finished. So here we have the beginning and the end, the Aleph and the Tav, and we have the cross, and we have these 22 letters. At the end of this time, this will finish. This will finish all seven of the feasts when we come to the end of this, and it will end on the 22nd day of Tishrei.
Tishrei, sure.
So God has everything in order, everything planned. His calendar is in order. You know, people have confused it, and we've had so many different calendars. But if we go back and we look at the biblical calendar, and we look at what it says, when we may not know exactly, like you said, we don't know exactly what year we're on.
That's right.
We may not even know exactly what day we're on. We do have to go by the moons, the new moons. But also, we just have to believe God's word, and we have to read the Bible, because I'm sure you're going to read some scriptures where it says on this day, on that day, God always gives days and numbers, which is so awesome. So even if you don't know the Hebrew and everything, you're going to, when you read your Bible, you will see God says on the seventh month, on the first day of the seventh month. Well, then you say, well, what day is that? Then you're going to count January, February, March. No, you got to go to a Jewish calendar, and you have to find out where the seventh month is on a Hebrew calendar. And I'll tell you right now, it's Tishrei.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about what's going to happen on a new moon. And of course, the feasts, all, this is the only feast that happens on a new moon.
That's it.
And Jesus made a statement, we won't know the day or the hour.
And the Jewish people knew, when he said that, they knew he was talking about for a new moon.
Looking for a new moon.
That means
when you say, I don't know the day or the hour, it means it's like on Turkey Day. You know that's Thanksgiving, right?
That's right.
So when they said, don't know the day or the hour, they knew that they were talking about a new moon.
That's it.
And this is the only feast, I'm telling you, only feast, people, that falls on a new moon. You know, so it's, and other ones fall on full moons many times. So here we are. We got to realize that on the new moon, on some Tishrei, something special is going to happen.
That's
Tell
right.
us what special is going to happen.
We have two appointed times, that we're going to see there's a full moon included. We have the first day of unleavened bread. It's going to be what, a full moon? The first day of tabernacles, which is on the 15th of the month. Well, and so is the one in the month of Nisan, the 15th. So those are full moons. So the moons are important. And so
these first 10 days are called the 10 days of awe.
That's right.
And then there's 5 days, because well, we're not going to talk about the Day of Atonement. That would be the next one. And then on the 15th, then there's the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. All will happen in 22 days of the month of Tishri.
The end of Jacob's
trouble. Right now we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, right, or we would call it Days of Trumpets.
So you think about it, when Jacob's trouble comes, we're going to have 7 years. 7 times they'll honor all those appointed times again.
It's awesome.
And then at the end, on that last year, it's going to all come to a conclusion in 22 days, and it'll be all over.
And they said this is going to be honored during the kingdom.
That's what it says, and Ezekiel tells us that. So as we think about it, it's important as we look at this. Now, being that I was talking about this, I'm going to read a scripture to you out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5.
Okay.
And this has been kind of misinterpreted sometimes, too, because if we think about the Greek all the time, we got to keep a Jewish thought in this. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1 is very important. Paul says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren," he's talking to believers, "ye have no need that I write unto you." Well, what's he saying? The times means the times of the year, and the seasons mean what? God's appointed times, his Moedims.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells us right there. And we go down and read this, and we go even down to verse 3. It says, "For when they," these are the ones outside the church, "shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So now he's talking about Jacob's trouble. So we have to keep all this in mind when we think about the things that God's put in the Bible for us. Now remember, Paul was a Pharisee, and boy, did he know the scriptures. And so everything that he taught and everything that God gave him all revolved around God's plan for with his Jewish people. He chose them to reveal all this to you and I. The Torah was given to them. All that was given to them. And so now we're blessed to be grafted in to the Jewish people, and we're that unnatural branch. And so now these things are all valid for us today as well. As Paul said in Corinthians, what? That all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen to us. So what's what we have to follow? And so if we keep all this in mind, it'll help us. And so if we stay on God's calendar and not the world's calendar, remember, God's calendar has 12 months with 30 days in each month. So what is that? 360 days per year. That's his calendar. And we have to stay on his calendar instead of man. So we mix up the time on our calendar, the solar calendar, well, then we're going to be off on the prophetic realm, what God wants us to know. And so we got to keep this in mind. Now, remember the Feast of Trumpets. Well, before I say, I want to mention this. Some people told me and asked me, well, how do you know that that Christ is going to come for the church and all that on Rosh Hashanah or trumpets? How do you know that? Because the Bible talks about trumpets. When were the trumpets blown? On Tishri 1. Okay, that's when they were blown. And even the Jewish people know that there's going to be a resurrection one day. When will that be? Huh? When will that be? On trumpets.
So
I want you to turn to your Bible while I'm talking. Go to Isaiah chapter 26 with me. I'll show them a couple things.
Also, we need to let them know when Tishri 1 will happen, because it's going to happen the very beginning of October.
That's right. When is it? October 2nd or something this year. So could we be out of here this year? Might be. Or it might be. So while Don is turning there, I just want to share this with you.
Where do you want me to go?
I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 26, if my memory is right here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Yeshua.
So we got to think about the Feast of Trumpets. It's also called Rosh Hashanah. We say Rosh Hashanah. It just means, that means the beginning of the year. That's their new year, okay?
Let me read verse 20.
You're in chapter 26. I want you to read, maybe I'll turn over there with you. I think we're
on my people?
Yeah, we need to have more than one verse here.
Okay.
I'm going to turn over here with you.
Thank you, Lord.
So this is some very...
Open the gates. You'll be starting the first chapter, first beginning.
Yeah, you could. Okay. Well, that would take a long time to read all that. But
open the gates.
Rosh Hashanah scripture.
Scripture.
Trumpets,
we sing that song.
That's right.
In church, open the
gates. Where I want you to start reading that here is verse 17. It's referring to Jacob's trouble in the future. Like a woman.
Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery. Is in pain. Isn't the earth in pain right
that's
now
right.
with the things that's going on? Mm-hmm. And crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Okay. We have been with child, and we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen.
Now, these next three verses are key.
Thy dead men shall live.
Remember, Isaiah is talking about this years ago. Go on,
thy dead men shall live together with their dead
With my dead body, he's going to rise too.
With my dead body shall they arise.
Uh-huh.
Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of her herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That means that's resurrection.
Now, before Donna reads these next two verses, 20 is going to be a trumpet scripture, Rosh Hashanah trumpets, and then 21 is going to be the Day of Atonement, 10 days later. So go ahead and start that.
Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers.
Going to be hid away, right?
And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, till the indignation be overpassed.
So he's talking about hiding ourselves. You know, when the moon goes dark, Rosh Hashanah in trumpets is called the day of hiding. When it finally comes out, the new moon shows up.
Would the indignation, would that be the 7 years of trouble?
Indignation is another term for Jacob's trouble.
Jacob's trouble.
Till it be overpassed. Now we're going to go out 10 days.
Can we read the last verse?
Yeah. Go ahead.
The last
21.
One. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. That's after the 7 years.
Right.
The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain.
So this is referring to the time called Armageddon.
That's going
to
be the war at the end.
Right.
When we come back with the Lord.
That's right. On the Day of Atonement.
On the horses. So then then some people say, well, the rapture's not until the end. Well, then these two verses don't make sense if that's the case.
That's right. So God's got a promise for that. We just read that.
He's going to hide us away.
He wants to hide the Jewish people away right now. All they have to do is come to Yeshua and what? They'll be hid when all this time comes, okay?
And he's going to hide us away with him for those 7 years while all these things are going on in the earth.
Now I'm going to take you to another verse in the book of Zephaniah. If you can turn over there with me. I'm turning my pages here kind of slowly. I'll get it here in a minute. Zephaniah is an interesting book. And if you look up the name of Zephaniah in the Hebrew, Zephaniah's name means God
hides.
God hides. Okay? That's what it says. Let me find this verse here for you real quick. I'm looking here. It means God hides. We have a verse in this. It's very important if we look at this. Very important if we look at this. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm turning my pages here if I get these things to turn. Here we are, Zephaniah. It means God hides. Now, chapter 2 of Zephaniah is a very important thought here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read one thing here with you. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired, because Israel was in rebellion at this time, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, and before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. He says it, twice in that verse. And then, what's the day of the Lord? It's talking about Jacob's trouble. And then here's the key verses. Verse 3. This is a feast of trumpets. It says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Now remember, he's talking to the Jewish people here. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. We're going to be talking about that probably next week. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Isn't that incredible? So God has a problem. He wants to hide them away in a pavilion in his glory. And so we know we're going to be caught away as well. Or if we die, we'll be resurrected. But I'm thinking about the catching away and all that. So trumpets has given us a foreshadow of all this. And I was going to share this with you out of my book here. So Rosh Hashanah just means the head of the year. It's a new year, which, the appointed time set by God teaches us about, here, these are key things. The coronation of the King of Kings in heaven, the wedding of the Messiah, which... we've talked about many times on this program. This time also reveals the rewards of the court. These are topics called the Day of Judgment and the beginning of the Messianic Kingdom. It talks about Jacob's trouble, the resurrection of the dead, okay? Teshuvah, we're in that time right now, and the birthday of the world. And so we'll look at these things as we go along to show you these things and help you understand this. So, and we're going to uncover some things, you know, that you might realize some more things about the Messianic kingdom that we should know about now. And it's all revolving around God's appointed time. So if you recall, many times we talked on this program over the years that God desires 6,000 years, and he's got a plan. He's got 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth until these 6,000 years come to an end. Then we're going to get into Jacob's trouble. So God's plan, he's got a Jew and Gentile program going for Messiah, and then he's got a program for Israel all by itself. And so he established a 7,000-year program in Genesis 1 from the beginning to the end. And so we're almost to the end of 6,000 years and all these things are going to happen. So it was his desire to finish those 6,000 years to the day and then begin his Messianic kingdom, which is part of that is Jacob's trouble. It would fall on Tishri 1, the day he gave us to teach us, I should say, about the beginning of his kingdom. In fact, the kingdom's beginning on Rosh Hashanah, or trumpets, is a very good probability rather than a speculation, because the Word of God reveals many hidden truths while on this subject. And so as we let the study unfold these next few weeks, this truth should become more evident. Even in the Jewish Talmud, now this is a Jewish writing, support for this truth is found. Under the section called Rosh Hashanah 10b through 11a, it reads thus, "It has been taught by Rabbi Eliezer, says in the month of Tishri, the world was created in the month of Tishri. They will be redeemed in time to come. The prophet Isaiah wrote at this time in Isaiah 26, Chapter 26, verses 1 through 20. We read part of that just a little bit ago. These verses are Rosh Hashanah scriptures, or trumpets, revealing the gates of the temple being opened and the resurrection of the dead and so on. So we have some incredible things with what the Bible reveals to us with all this. And so we're going to study this these next few weeks. You know, probably, I think it's going to be at least 3 weeks. It might be longer. Like I said, I have two lessons in this book I wrote about this. Now here's something else. According to the Jewish Talmud in Rosh Hashanah 16b, listen to this one now. The resurrection of the dead will occur on Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin means the day of judgment. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, which is also on Rosh Hashanah. This day is called the day of blowing of the shofars. From very ancient times, the resurrection of the dead has been associated with the day of shofars. We have mentioned in many times on this program about a book. It's called the Jewish Authorized Daily Prayer Book by Dr. Joseph Herzl, H-E-R-T-Z. And he has a statement in his book. He said this, "And in the poetic conception of our later teachers, it was the sound of the great shofar that will on the last day rend open the graves and cause the dead to rise." This is revealed in John chapter 11, 24 through 26. Thus, the messianic hope, resurrection, and immortality of the soul are intertwined with the message of what? Of the shofar. So this is what is so important to understand this, if we can just keep this in mind. So according to many of the Jewish scholars and teachers and rabbis, the Day of Trumpets involves the sounding of the last trump. And we got a misunderstanding in most of the church about the last trump. It's not the one in the book of Revelation. Remember, Revelation was written quite a few decades after Paul wrote his notes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last trump. Today, those removed from the understanding of these concepts from Judaism, such as the last trump, tends to give us a thought and everybody else's guess as to what these terms might mean. What do they mean? In order to fully understand the scriptures of the Gospels and the Epistles and the book of Revelation, we must place these books back into their original Jewish context. We need to know the customs, the mannerism, what was going on in history. We need to look at all this. And we have to define each term, phrase, and idiom the way the original writer in the Jewish mode of thinking expressed it. So I want to go over now. I want to go over and read 1 Corinthians with you, chapter 15. Let's go look over there. Well, we can spend a lot of time on this topic, Pastor Donna. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. I just finished. I've been doing some reading here on my own as I go through the Bible. I've just finished reading 1 Corinthians again. So if we look over here in 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read verses 50 through 55 with you. Okay. Now I want you to notice we read this, the use of the term last trump being used in connection with the resurrection of the dead. All right? All right, I'm starting in verse 50, didn't I tell you? Now this, Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren," he's talking to believers, "that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And this is a mystery. A mystery is a hidden truth. It's like a sod. Hebrew term is called sod. S-O-D, it means something hidden. It's a mystery. But we've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, just like Jesus told his disciples that. And so we have also. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not going to all die, are we, Pastor Don? But we shall all, what? Be changed. We're all going to be transformed. Now, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and here we go, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, or transformed again. Same word as we had up in verse 51. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Isn't it wonderful to think about that? Now, back to verse 52 now about this trump. Now, I've heard all kinds of teaching about this last trump. Remember, trumpets is the day of blowing of the trumpets. And we've talked about this a lot on this program. On Rosh Hashanah, in fact, they did it for 2 days because, remember, they were looking for a new moon. And so they blow 100 shofars on those 2 days. And they do a certain sound at 9 in the morning, another sound at noon, another sound at 3 in the afternoon. And then in the evening, at the close of the day, they have a man assigned with a great big shofar. And he blows that thing louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. And it's called the awakening blast, resurrection. So this last trump is, think about, this last trump will be the last trump that will be blown on Rosh Hashanah or trumpets on that day. On one of those 2 days, they do it 2 times. One of those days will be the last trump, okay? So it's a Tishri scripture. So it's very important to understand this. And so this gives us a clue. You know, people take you to the book of Revelation with this. Well, this was written way before the book of Revelation was ever written at all. And so we have to understand those things, and then we have clarity in this. Now, why I want to share this was this. we know it's Rosh Hashanah. But here's a good question we think about that needs to be answered. From where does the phrase last trump come from? This is with a Jewish understanding now. In Judaism, there are 3 recognized shofars or ram horn trumpets called the first trump, the last trump, and the great shofar. This great shofar is mentioned in Matthew 24. These shofars are not to be confused with the 2 silver trumpets mentioned in Numbers chapter 10. The first trump and the last trump are related to the 2 horns of a particular ram according to Jewish tradition. The ram that was caught in the thicket on Mount Moriah, remember in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac and offer him up as a burnt offering. This is in Genesis 22:13. This ram became the substitute. Hear that? This ram became the substitute for Isaac, even as Yeshua the Messiah became the substitute for us and provided eternal life for us through his death. Now, the ancient rabbinical understanding, and this is interesting, about the ram's horns of Mount Moriah, says they say that the left horn was called the first trump and was blown on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:13. Now, if you read over there, Pastor Donna, real close, it doesn't tell you no man was chosen to blow that trumpet. Who blew that? It was God. It was his voice. Okay, it's called the first trump. And that right horn was called the last trump, which will be blown to herald the coming of the Messiah. We just read that, 1 Corinthians 15:52. An interesting question was posed by one of the ancient rabbis years ago. Was not that ram burnt together with his horns, skin, and flesh? How could this then be the source of the shofar blown at Mount Sinai? The answer is that God created and resurrected a new ram out of the ashes. Couldn't he? Certainly did. He's going to resurrect us into something special, isn't he, Pastor Donna? We're going to be changed in a moment of time. Well, the third shofar is called the great shofar, which is to be blown on the conclusion of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, in the last year of Jacob's trouble, revealing God's ingathering of all the exiles at the Messianic's literal, here we go, second advent now. He's coming to the earth, okay, to the earth. It's revealed in Isaiah 27, 12 and 13, and also Matthew 24, verse 31. So we need to take note here that there's a difference between the last trump at Rosh Hashanah, where the dead in Yeshua are resurrected and the true believers caught away, and that of the great shofar blown on Yom Kippur, where those who have become believers during the birth pangs of the tribulation are gathered from the 4 corners of the earth. And this is all revealed also in Matthew 13. So with this understanding regarding the ram caught in the thicket, when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, we likewise can now see the prophetic implication of God's humble substitute for us, none other than who? His name is Yeshua, the Messiah. In fact, Genesis 22, 7 through 8, Isaac asked his father Abraham, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham answered him, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And we want to note here, the only translation of the Bible we have today that has this correct is the King James, has a true prophetic implication of what Abraham said to Isaac, his son, truly bringing out the significance of God supplying himself as what? Our sacrifice. He said God himself would do it. Now, I believe that Abraham saw into the future there on Mount Moriah when that day was underway and received a vision of the Son of God in his day. How do we know this? Yeshua himself said in John 8:56, he said this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it," listen to this, "and was glad." You know, he was glad because he saw into the future about all this. So trumpets is so important. Now, we're in this time called Teshuva right now, and a lot of things are going on that people should be examining themselves, and they're doing it in Israel, preparing for the last 10 days, the 10 days of all that Donna talked about. So we got to keep this in mind. You know, there's a lot of reasons. The Bible reveals so many of them, but I picked out 10 reasons for sounding the shofar that we might just mention these for your benefit. It was blown to herald the Lord's descent and the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. That's over in Exodus chapter 19 we talked about. Number two, blown to usher in the Feast of Trumpets. This was a call to a high Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of the shofars in number 29, verse 20, chapter 29, verse 1. It marked the beginning of a 10-day period of self-examination and repentance. And we know Teshuva is part of it, culminating with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It tells us to awake, ye sleepers, from your sleep, and ponder your deeds. Let's compare this statement from the Jewish writings that Paul said in Ephesians 5:14. We got to wake out of our sleep. It's like it talks about resurrection. Number three, blown to herald the Day of Atonement. A long blast is sounded to begin Yom Kippur. Think about this. During the time we're in right now of Teshuvah, every morning they blow the shofar, every single morning during those days. Number four, it's blown to announce the year of Jubilee. Some people believe this is the Jubilee year. Every 50 years, slaves were freed, debts were forgiven, and the land returned to the original owner, as it says in Leviticus chapter 25, 9 and 10. You know, Jonathan Cahn wrote these books about the Shemitah. That's what it's all about. Number five on this list, blown when a king was anointed. When a king was put in place and anointed, it's one place that's revealed is in 1 Kings 1, verses 34, and then 39 and 41. It's also revealed in 2 Kings 9, 13. The sixth thing for blowing the shofar, blown to announce God's presence and to praise and worship him. We blow shofars in church, don't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
We blow the shofar because we're going to worship and praise him. Excuse me. Number seven, blown to call people to repentance. Isaiah 58, 1, Hosea 8, 1, and Joel 2, 1, and verse 15. You can read all those scriptures about repentance. Number eight, blown to usher in the ark of the Lord. In other words, his presence, as David danced with all his might in 2 Samuel 6, 15. It's also revealed in 1 Chronicles 15, 28. Blown to usher in the ark of the Lord. When he rode into Jerusalem with the ark, remember, he took his shirt off, he jumped and he danced, and he just abandoned himself to God. That's when his wife looked out at him and mocked him. What happened? She was barren, never had any children because of what she did. The ninth reason for blowing the shofar was blown by the Lord himself. Tells you that in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 14. God blew that shofar also at Mount Sinai over there in Exodus chapter 19. And the tenth thing I picked was blown at his second coming for the Lord himself. This is in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the shofar of God, and the dead in Messiah shall rise what? First. So here you have it. Glory. See, here we're talking about a second coming. It'll be a resurrection now from among the dead, and then we are alive and remain. They're walking with
Amen.
The Lord. We will be caught off this earth. So that's what it's all about. So what is Teshuva that we talk about? Teshuva is it's a call to repentance. God's wanting us to turn around and come back to him. But a lot of people, as we mentioned last week, have never come to the Lord, have they, Pastor Don? So this might be your day. You're listening to this program, maybe. It's a day to come to the Lord. And once you come, when you start walking with him. But see, people get mundane sometimes with the Lord over the years once they come to the Lord, and they start doing things they used to do, and they quit going to church and a lot of things that God doesn't want them to do. And so then they need to have a renewal. They need to have a stirring within in them. That's what Teshuva is all about. It's a call to return to God and come through repentance. And that's all it's about. And so It's very important to understand this. So this season of Teshuvah is a time for each person to annually, what, examine his own life.
Amen.
And we have to restore relationships between mankind and, as well as with God, realizing that Rosh Hashanah is understood as the day of judgment in which the heavenly court sits to review each person. Repentance, therefore, becomes a what? A pressing matter. Israel's right in the middle of this right now doing all this. Amen, Pastor Doug? But now we don't do this just at this time of the year, do we, the church? When do we do it? All year long. That's what God wants us to know. Now, what I was coming up to here, I wanted to mention, we talked about the Day of Judgment. I think we'll close with this and let Pastor Donna, she's got some things I can see. I thought she had some things she wanted to share over there. I saw her wheels turned over there. Anyway, remember, with Judaism, there's basically 2 days of judgment. Rosh Hashanah is one. That's when the books are opened. And then the other one is on the Day of Atonement. That's the day that your fate is sealed on that particular day. It's called the Day of Judgment. Well, the Jewish people understood this. They have for years and years. They believe that God opens 3 books on Rosh Hashanah. And one's called the Book of the Righteous. The other's called the Book of the Wicked. And the other's the Book of the Intermediates. And some, whether people are still in the mode of deciding. It tells us that over in Joel chapter 3, they're in the Valley of Decision. And so we want to be in the right book. And Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom HaDin, means the Day of Judgment. On this day, it is taught that all the inhabitants of the world will pass before God. We're talking about in Judaism thought now. Each person is weighed in the balance and placed into one of 3 categories. Now I'm going to give you the scriptures, and you can look these up if you want. The Book of the Righteous. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what they have to be. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, if you want to write that down. The Book of the Wicked. These are vessels fit for destruction. Psalm 69, 28. And then we have the Book of the Intermediates. Still in a decision mode. And we have that mentioned in Malachi 3:16 through 18, but also it's mentioned in Joel chapter 3 about those who are in the Valley of Decision. And the Jewish Talmud also has much to say regarding the days of awe. Rosh Hashanah 1:13 in the Talmud says all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah and their fate is sealed on Yom Kippur. Or the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Judah, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, says, all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Also in another section of Rosh Hashanah, 16b through 17a says this, it has been taught by the school of Shammai, says, there will be 3 classes of people on the final day of judgment, one of the holy righteous, one of the holy wicked, and one of the intermediates. The holy righteous are at once inscribed and sealed for life in the world to come. The holy wicked are at once inscribed and sealed for Gehenna, or perdition. They're going to be lost. For this reason, it's fit that we celebrate Rosh Hashanah as a festive day, but since it is a day of judgment for all living things, it is also fit that we observe Rosh Hashanah with greater fear and awe than all of the other festival days. And because Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, awe and even dread are part of its message to the world. Each day of the preceding month, Elul, we mentioned there's a shofar's blown every morning at 9 a.m., when we think about all that. But I thought about this, Pastor Don. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a day of trumpets. Now, if a person at that time with Israel thought they were in a bad place, they can repent and come back. But think, if they don't, God still gives them another 10 days of grace and mercy.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah.
So right now we're in the time, we're in the month of Elul,
and
we're in the days of repentance, those 40 days, right? And that's called Teshuvah. Mm-hmm. And the word Teshuvah means to turn.
Turn and repent.
To turn or repent to come back. You know, maybe somebody out there is listening and they've drifted away from the Lord.
Right.
And they're wandering. It's like they're out there wandering. You know, they believe, you know, the Jewish people, the Israel believed in the desert, but they wandered and they were in disobedience. So
sure.
A lot of people say they're Christians, they're in the church. They say they believe, but it's like they're in the desert because they're wandering. They're not really walking with the Lord in spirit and in truth, and they're not following what the Lord says. Maybe they're living in sin, and they're choosing to live that way, even though they may believe. But, you know, not all who say they believe. The devil believes, doesn't he?
That's right.
And he's not going to be saved. He's in hell.
Yeah.
But my question is here, so since because of these 40 days of Teshuvah, and then when we come to Tishri 1, which is the days of the trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, what are the 10 days of awe? Because there's 10 more days of awe. And isn't there a scripture about the gates being closed? What are those 10 days? There's 10 more days before we come to the day of, before we come to Yom Kippur. So there's a 10 days
window there.
A period of time from the first day of, from Tishri 1 to Tishri 10.
Mm-hmm.
And those are called the 10 days of awe.
Because it's an awesome time. They know 1 year at the end of Jacob's trouble will be the last 10 days of awe. It's going to be all over. And so they're really examining themselves. And so if they hadn't made the right decision on trumpets, God still gives them 10 more days of grace to realize
wow.
if they're not right, and they can still come to the Lord.
So even there, it shows God's grace.
Sure.
It's almost like that gate is just gradually
closing,
and people can see it. It's just closing. And if we look and we see what's happening in the world, we can see how things are closing
That's
in
right.
on us. It's almost like the enemy is closing in on us even against the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the government. It's all closing in. The things that they want to take away
yeah.
that our beliefs, some of our beliefs, you know, about
mm-hmm.
prayer, about the things that we teach in church, what pastors teach about, you know, we already lost the prayer in the school. There's so many things that have changed. It's almost like we can see this door is closing. If we can't
right.
see them in the natural with what's happening in the world today, how are we going to be able to see these spiritual things?
That's right.
So these 10 days here, it's God's grace, right? And these doors, it's like it's just gradually, each day you see it just closes a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. You know, wow, it's going to get so narrow.
She can't get through. But we read Isaiah chapter 26 about opening the gates.
Mm-hmm.
On those days of all, the temple
wide open.
Are all wide open in Yeshua's day.
So everybody
on the
can
day
run
of atonement,
through.
They slowly closed the doors. And when it
mm-hmm.
was all closed, it sealed the fate for people for eternity.
So that means
we're out of trouble. Time already.
Yeah, well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this radio
time
broadcast.
Goes by so fast.
Every Saturday at 12 noon. You can go back and listen to this again. I know he gave a lot of words that you may not have heard before, but you also can get his book, Pictures of the Messiah and Revealing All the Feasts of the Lord. It also has a calendar in it, plus many more things in there. It's only $25 plus shipping and handling. If you'd like to come to visit us, we were here in Stuart, Florida. We have services Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. So just give us a phone call and let us know what you think and how you, you know, if you have any questions, you can give Pastor Gene a call and he'd
glad
be glad to
answer
try
to
answer
yeah.
them for you.
Yes.
So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we always close this program. I tell you, look up because your redemption draweth nigh. This is
right.
a good time. Could it be this year?
Could be.
Could it be? We're only a few days away from trumpets. Could it be this year? Now, I don't believe so, but I could be wrong.
Could be.
So could it be? We need to be ready all the time, don't we? So as we close the program, we tell you we're honored to be here with you. Take these things and learn. Study the Word of God and you'll grow in leaps and bounds. And so as we close the program, I'll tell you again, look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.